want to look at Matthew 18. The Lord told me this morning that I was to speak on forgiveness, 70 times 7. So I want to share what God has shown me to share with you. Not necessarily just to do a Bible study, but to share those things that God has revealed to me that we must hear this morning. Okay, let's begin at verse 18:18. Matthew 18:18. Jesus says, "Verily," that means truly, "I say unto you," it's taking authority here in the place of God, "whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you," I say unto you, "that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Now Peter was listening to all this, gave it some thought. Right away he began to apply it, because that's what you're supposed to do when you hear a scripture, is apply it immediately to your life. And Peter did, and he came into a problem. He thought, if I lose somebody, and then he thought about that. He just thought the day before he just lost somebody, forgave them. And then they sinned against him later that afternoon, and he had to forgive them twice. And he'd been thinking about that. And then he did it again. And then they came back that very morning, and they did it again. And he wondered, how many times do you have to forgive? And here Jesus brings this little teaching, and Peter's just fresh with thinking about this. And he says, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" I was thinking, Lord, I got three on this brother, and I was thinking I'd give him four more. That's the perfect number. Sounds complete. And the eighth time, that's it. He's a reprobate. He's beyond repair. Forget it. And here's what the Lord says. Peter had some good thinking there. It's definitely biblical. I mean, seven is a biblical number. It definitely had it down, you know. That's the complete number. You forgive a guy seven times, that's complete. Eighth, no way. "Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Ah, Jesus knows Bible numbers too. He likes seven also. So he just increases. Instead of 70 times or 7 times 7, he goes up to 70 times 7 to make it really extravagant. So here's old Peter counting up on his fingers, and he figures, well, that's a pretty high number. Now, when you get to 491, that's when you can stop forgiving. It's obvious from the teaching. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. It's always good when you give a teaching to give an example. It's always good when you give a teaching to illustrate it, either with your life or with a story. So Jesus gave a story. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king." Now, a king is obviously has some things going for him. This story couldn't be the same unless it were like this. This man has power. There's power. This man has power. Now you see, this thing doesn't work unless you got power. You gotta have power. This king was rich. You gotta have rich. And a lot of other things, which we'll get to. "Which would take account of his servants." That is, those who were subordinated to him, those that were under him, those who were obligated to him. Now that's necessary. That's essential to see. "And when he had begun to reckon," right at the beginning, "one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents of silver." We don't know really today what the value of that would be. You have to kind of guess. But somewhere between $50 and $75 million. I say this is a big debtor. This guy had really margined himself out. You know, he knew how to do it. He had lots of debtors, obviously. This guy had built a pyramid kind of situation and had just gotten caught. You know, he kind of fell on hard times. He had calculated it, and some of his debtors began to default on him, and all of a sudden he owed, let's say, $75 million and had not aught. He didn't have anything to pay. Oh, he maybe could have come up with a few dollars. But he had nowhere near the money that was owed. Finally, the due date came. He had gone around, tried to get those debtors of his to pay up, and they didn't pay. And so he had overextended himself, and now he was caught. Now, there's a typical situation. Many of us have overextended ourselves. Maybe not to the point of this man, but remember, this is a story, which is making a point. But for as much as he had not to pay, that is, nothing, he didn't have anything, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Now this guy, obviously, is a big liver. He lived, you know, he drove in the fast lane. He had plenty. He probably had a nice home. And so, to pay off the 50 to 75 million, the man said, well, you know, I can't get much out of the guy, so what I'll do is I'll sell him and his wife and his kids into slavery. Slaves bring a pretty good price. And he's got a nice home and, you know, has a couple Rolls Royces, drive across Judea, you know. He's one of those earthly, you know, one of those wealthy Jews, you know. I'll sell his horn-rimmed glasses, you know. But he had it all figured out that he would make this guy pay up as much as he could, and then that was it. That's all you could get out of it. You can only squeeze it so far, and then there's no more. But the servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I'll pay everything. I'll pay it all. Please, just give me a little time. I promise. Look, I mean, the thing is just, you know, there's a few problems, but boy, if you just give me a little more time, I can come up with it. Please, have mercy on me. Have patience with me. Give me a little more time. Then, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. He saw the man's tears. He saw the anguish. He saw the need. He said, you know, who could help this man? If you owed $75 million, who's going to help you? You know, you can't go to your pastor. They aren't paid that much. So, you know, that's a big debt. So this king looked at the guy and said, you know, there's nobody that's got that kind of money. His creditors didn't come through. And, you know, the only one that could help him is me. I'm the only one rich enough that I could help him. Because there's nobody else out there that could or would help him. So, the king made a decision. He was moved with compassion. When he saw this man's need and he saw his tears, he saw the sincerity of this man, I'll pay everything. I'm going to pay everything. And he loosed him and forgave him the debt. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, but whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Obligations are obligations. Mercy is mercy. Law is law. Mercy is mercy. What you bind is bound. What you loose is loosed. So this man removed the binding, the law, the obligation, and set him free. He loosed him from the debt. He untied him. He unbound him. He unobligated him. He removed him from the law. And the man went free. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. 50, maybe $60. And he laid hands on him. Ah, I got you. You know, you remember last week you owed me? I just got in trouble. I owed 70, you know, 70 million, and you owe me about $70. And I want you to pay up right now. He thought, you know, I don't want to get in that situation again, so I'm just going to make my debtors pay up. He took him by the throat, and he said, pay me that thou owest.
Okay.
And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and he besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He probably had some debtors that owed him, maybe. Or maybe he had overextended himself a little bit. Bought cable TV that week to watch the broadcast, you know. Got into debt. So he was in trouble. And so he fell down, did the same thing this other guy did. And so now here's an opportunity for this man to collect some debts when he doesn't know anything. This man has an opportunity now that the big debt has been waived. Kind of like, look, don't worry about it. Pay when you can. So now, there's no debtor at the door. So he decides, man, I can make a killing. I'll just get all my debtors to pay up without mercy, and I'll come out ahead because my guy isn't going to make me pay up. I can pay when I want. But I'll gather all that stuff now, and I don't have to turn it over. And so he showed him no mercy. He refused to show mercy because he saw, here's an opportunity. Man, this is a one in a lifetime. I was deep in debt, and now I've been forgiven, so I'm not going to forgive my debtors. I'm going to collect it all and really make it big. And now I'll probably do well then. I'll reinvest it, and then I'll have plenty, and I can pay the other guy off just whenever I feel like it. That was good thinking, wasn't it? That man was a sharp businessman. He was thinking well. Yeah, he wasn't just cruel. He was greedy. He was greedy. You know, he had an opportunity here to really make out well. And this guy would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now you see, obviously this man's motive was not just collect money. Because if he cast him into prison, what's he going to do there? How can he pay off? He just wanted to punish the guy. He was just vindictive. He was just angry that this guy didn't pay off. Because this guy is one of the ones that got him in trouble. $70 worth, but nonetheless, it got him in trouble. He didn't want to be in trouble anymore. Now, what's this man's motive? Is he really interested in the debt? Does he really feel obligated to his debtor? No. He's obviously very selfish. He's only interested in what he can get. And so he wants to take, but he doesn't want to give. He doesn't feel obligated at all to that other guy. He had an obligation, but when it was waived, forget it. He didn't feel any real, he didn't have any inside obligation. He didn't really feel like he owed anything. Do you see that? This man really didn't feel like, you know, he said, if you'll forgive me, I'll, give me some time, I'll pay the debt. But when it came to this next servant, he reveals his true motive. He doesn't really feel like, you know, here's what he considers is, you know, I'm really not that bad. The reason that I got in trouble like that was because I was a little overextended. I mean, I did make a few mistakes here of judgment, but the biggest mistake I made was to let some of these little twerps go. I shouldn't have let them off. I'm going to choke those guys till they pay up or throw them in jail. I mean, that's it. Pay up or else. And that he felt was, so he really felt like he should have had the 50 million, the 70 million, whatever. He felt he should have had it. He felt he deserved it. And just because of circumstances, the way they worked out, he considered himself a victim, not a culprit. He didn't really consider that he owed this other man something and that because of his own decisions, he made the mistake. He considered more that really he made some mistakes, but by and large, he was victimized by all these little guys that didn't pay him off. By circumstances, the economy kind of went down. This was in the Carter years. He was having trouble. So, it's very important that we realize that this man did not consider himself obligated. He did not consider himself, he considered that an injustice was done him. And this little guy did it. Circumstances did it. But he himself was not taking responsibility for his debts. Do you see that? It's important to see that because I'm about to apply it to you. I want you to make sure you understand this other bad guy first. Hello? So, he did not feel, even though he was a wealthy man compared to this little guy, and could forgive him, he was rich enough, the poor man couldn't forgive anybody. Think about that. When you're powerless, there's no one indebted to you. How can you loose anybody? How can you set anyone free? When you're poor, when you have nothing, you can't forgive anybody. Do you understand? Only the rich, the powerful, the righteous have the power, the ability, the capacity to be a savior. Think about that. So, when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Because you asked me. You said, please forgive me. I did it out of compassion. I was moved. I forgave you that entire debt, all of it. I said, okay, pay when you can. Don't worry about it. Forget it. Just forget the whole thing. Don't worry about it. And the man, I'll pay, made all these promises. I said, okay, it's all right. No problem. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Now, it wasn't as though the other man could pay. The man who owed the $70 had no more capacity to pay than the man that owed the $70 million. Neither of them had capacity. And so the first master, who was rich, who had the power and the authority, forgave. Not the amount. That was not the issue. The issue was the man had no one to pay. There was no one that could take care of it. There was no one that would stand with him. There was no way to get the money. So the only thing he could do is sell a man and so on. Just get what little he could. But he needed a savior. And so the king became his savior. He became his debt payer. The king who was owed the debt became the one that paid the debt. You can do that when you're powerful. You can do that when you're rich. You can do that when you're righteous. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and he delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Because you have chosen to live under the law, the obligation, the binding, therefore I also will put you under that same law which you want to live by. Since you want to do that to your fellow servant, so I will then treat you in that way. Since you chose not to operate in mercy as I did. Since you decided not to dismiss the law. Since you weren't excited and thankful, grateful that I had forgiven all that debt. And you proved that because you went out and operated under obligation law. Since you didn't see that I established something new. I had the goods on you. I could have sold you and your family and all your goods, everything that you had, your children. Everything, but I operated in mercy. I was rich, so I decided just to write it off. I had that. I could suffer. I could write the debt myself. And so I chose. Someone had to pay. I chose to pay myself. I took the payment. I suffered for free, for no reason. Just because I had compassion on you. Because you had a need and no one could meet it. Because you needed a savior and I decided I'd do that. Now you went and you operated under law. As though you forgot what I did for you. Didn't you remember what I just did for you? Aren't you grateful? Aren't you thankful? Have you forgotten so quickly? How is it that you treated this servant of yours under the law, under obligation? Did you really understand what I did for you? And this was just a few dollars. Did that servant also need mercy? Did he have anyone to stand for him? Did he have a savior? Couldn't you have been a savior to him as I was to you? And that was just a few dollars. So likewise, Jesus concludes this story, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Listen to this. This is a conditional. So likewise, in the same way, in like manner, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. That is, those that were listening to the story that day. Those who were listening to his talk. Those who were listening. The hearers. My heavenly Father, who's like this king, do also unto you, if you from your hearts. This man obviously did not have a heart for the man who owed him anything. Even though he cried out and the king's heart was moved, yet when someone cried out to him, his heart was stone, cold. How is it that the king, whose heart was soft toward him, had no effect on his heart, so that his heart was hard? Something was wrong. He didn't really understand. He didn't really grasp the magnitude of this king's willingness to pay the entire debt, to suffer the loss, the innocent for the guilty. He didn't understand that. He didn't grasp that. He still wanted to live under obligation law for others, but for himself to escape. What kind of a standard was that? The man was inconsistent. He wanted mercy done to him, but justice done to others. Hello? He wanted mercy shown to him, but justice done to others. I'm going to apply this in a minute, but I want you to understand it first. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, that is, throw you in prison till you have paid everything, which means you'll never get out. If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother his trespasses. You must forgive. Every one of you must forgive everyone from the heart. Hallelujah. From the heart. Now, I want to make some statements. Then I want to illustrate it with a couple examples. And then I want to tell us what we're going to do. First, the statements. Forgiveness is showing mercy to someone who deserves condemnation. Forgiveness is showing mercy to someone who deserves condemnation. We're not talking here about someone who's a nice person. We're talking here about someone who's not a nice person. We're talking that forgiveness does not, it's for someone who sinned. If someone sins against you, you forgive them. You don't forgive people who don't sin, or people who just, you know, sort of didn't mean to do it. This is for people who are mean. Forgiveness operates on sinners, people that did it. You see, you don't say, well, I forgave her because I don't think she really meant it. No, this is for someone who really meant it. Forgiveness is for those who don't deserve to be forgiven. Well, that person doesn't deserve it. I mean, I think they deliberately did that. I'm not sure, but I think they did. That's why I'm not going to forgive them. That's what forgiveness is for. Those that deserve punishment. Those that you've got dead to rights. Those that you've got by the throat and say, you know, you're guilty. That's the one that needs forgiveness. The one that doesn't have a savior. The one that has no hope is the one that needs hope. That's the one you need to show it to. I got them. Boy, they said they were a Christian. They're no Christian. I suppose they think they're a Christian. They're no Christian. They sin. I mean, you know, I tell you, I can't forgive. I can't forgive because I've been in that church 10 years. You know, and they've hurt me bad. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. I mean, I caught them. I got them. I've kept a record. You know, I didn't write it down, but I've got it. I've got it right here. I don't forget. I remember just how they said it. I could give it to you just how they did it. You know. And I remember that they said this and that, but then what did they really do? When it came down to it, I tell you, you can't trust Christians. Hello? You know, that's true. So I don't forgive them. That's why I don't forgive them. I would forgive them otherwise, but I don't forgive them because they said they were going to do this and they didn't do it. They fell short. And therefore, I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. I really am. I'm hurt. I tell you, that church had promised so much. I'm hurt by it. Hello? Not yet meddling. I'm disappointed in that pastor. You know? I mean, you know, he pretends like he's so pious. But I've caught him. You ever see what he did to his kids? You know? And you ever see how he treated David? Hello? Hello? You know, some people delight to catch you. I don't mind being caught. Just forgive me. Hello? Huh, just like that? Uh-huh. That's what I had in mind. I mean, I need it. Robert needs it. We all need it. Let's loose one another instead of binding one another. Just because you've actually got something, that's a wonderful opportunity then to loose. It's not that you can justify them and say, I don't suppose they really meant it. Or, maybe I misunderstood. That's why I'll forgive them. No, you forgive them when you know you've got the goods on them. I'm going to say it one more time. Forgiveness is showing mercy to someone who deserves condemnation, rejection. They deserve it. They don't deserve anything good. They didn't do right. They did wrong. You got them. You caught them. You're right. That's when you exercise forgiveness. That's what forgiveness is for. That's what it's for. It's not for someone who really deserves justice. I mean, who deserves, you know, something nice. It's for someone who deserves punishment. When you catch them, that's when to forgive them. Many of you are holding bitterness, and that's why you're sick. Physically sick. Physically. It's one of the biggest causes of sickness, is unforgiveness. Many of you have other problems, and as a body, we will not be blessed. It's a condition until we forgive and forget and show mercy. It's not a matter of whether we like people or whether they're, you know, if you do nice, you know, some people come and they say, you know, I did this for the church and they didn't appreciate it. Pastor never got up and thanked me for what I did. I mean, he didn't even come privately and thank me. No one, in fact, ever said anything. And I was the one that I gave the, you know, the pews or something. I did it. I went out of my way. Those people don't appreciate, you know. I'm not going to do it anymore. I've come down and so on. Hello. So what? Forgive. It's a wonderful opportunity to forgive. See, you finally have some power now. Now forgive. Now you have some righteousness. Forgive. Exercise it. Now you can use mercy for the first time. Before, you weren't obligated. Now you've got something on somebody. Now you have some power. Now you have some obligation. Now forgive. You see, every Christian is rich. Because you have the obligations of the whole body. Everyone owes you love. And when they don't give it, you have an opportunity to forgive it. When they don't give it, you have an opportunity to forgive it. Just let it go. Even though you're supposed to love me perfectly, you don't. And I've got a list. And I'm checking it twice. So what? It's a wonderful opportunity to exercise our Christian forgiveness. Mercy. Forgiveness is showing mercy when someone does not deserve it. Number two. Forgiveness is God's unilateral decision. That is, one-way decision. Unconditional. It's His unilateral decision to forget that one has wronged Him. It's God's unilateral decision, that is from His side only, to forget that someone has wronged Him. Just forget it. That is, to regard man as righteous even though he is guilty before the law. That's God's decision. That's what mercy is. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is God's decision from his side, not based on anything out there, to regard man as righteous even though he's guilty before the law. He looks at you as righteous even though in fact you're guilty. Not only in terms of salvation or justification, but also in terms of sanctification. You say, well, with Jesus' help, I should be doing better. But have you noticed you're not? Hello? Therefore, God shows mercy. He shows forgiveness for free, for no cost, because of his own nature, because of something inside of himself, because he's rich, because he's righteous, because he's powerful, because he can afford it. And so he decides to suffer himself. He decides to pay himself. He decides to be a savior. He doesn't have to. He wants to. He chooses to. You don't deserve it. He just wants to. That's a childlikeness that the body of Christ has not entered into yet. I would say the body of Christ is very legal, very uptight, very strong, very binding. It is not loose and childlike. When someone sins, we remember it. We notice it. We don't forget. You know, rather than like little children. You know, children get mad and then blow it off 5 minutes later. Hello. That's the way children are. Oh, God. Oh, I've done the same thing? Oh, praise the Lord. Forgive you. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting angry at one another. Just don't let the sun go down on your anger. Nothing wrong with getting mad at one another. Go ahead and do it. That's fun. Pastor, you know, I hate you. People do that to me. I hate you because, blah, blah, blah. You know, well, just forgive me. No, please. And then they call me back a couple hours later. Okay, I forgive you. You know, the Lord has shown me I'm the blah, 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 blah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I already forgave them before they even asked. There's nothing wrong with getting angry. That does not bother me that someone gets angry at me, hates me, wants to kill me, destroy me, wipe me out. I'll see to it. You know, okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Help. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Number three. Forgiveness is love's free decision to suffer personal loss for another who is guilty. Forgiveness is love's free decision to suffer personal loss for another. You see, forgiveness is not just, you've done wrong, oh, forget it. Forgiveness is, I pay. Not only do you not pay, but I pay for you. Because justice demands a payment. So, mercy does not work against justice. Mercy works with justice. It's love's free decision to show mercy instead of justice by letting justice come to me and mercy go to you. Not the other way around. Mercy for me and justice for you. No. Justice for me and mercy for you. I put a harder law on me than on you. I forgive you easily, even though I'm much harder on myself. I expect more out of me. Why? Because between I and the Lord, that's all there is. I mean, you know, if there's a need, I'll let my Lord take care of it. So I can expect a lot out of myself because I have a good helper who will not only forgive me when I do wrong, but he'll also empower me and enable me. So I expect quite a bit out of myself. When I don't come through, he's my Savior. When I do come through, he's the Lord. He did it. All praise to him. So I expect a lot out of him. I expect everything out of him. And he never disappoints me. If I've done wrong, he'll forgive me. That I expect. If I do right, that was him. That I expect. So I expect everything out of him. He always pays up. He's always just. Whether it's mercy or whether it's power, he is just. He will come through. He pays all my debts. He gives me all my power. He rewards me exceedingly. He rewards me for Jesus' sake. Do you know why God does good through me? For Jesus' sake. Because I believe. And if I believe, He does it. For Jesus' sake. He's not rewarding me for works, for merits. He's rewarding me because I believe I don't have any ability. And that He is my ability. That's why He rewards me. I don't have any goodness. He is my goodness. I don't have any love. He is my love. Have you ever checked inside of yourself to find love? And then lie to yourself that you have some?
I'm more loving than Sarah Bell.
It's only because you don't know yourself. You probably know Sarah Bell. The reason you know Sarah Bell is because you really know yourself, but you just didn't know you did. And you're really projecting onto her. You're watching her and saying, you know, she's a scoundrel. Which she probably is. But the only reason you know so much is because that's how you are. But you've just hidden it. When you're good at catching people, it's because you're good at hiding from God. You see, the log is always in your eye. The log is always in your eye. I'll say that again. The log is always in your eye. The speck can be in Sarah Bell's eye. Never a log. Hello? Do it appear sometimes Sarah Bell hath a log, and thou hath a speck? God saith, never. You always have the log. She always has the speck. That's God. I'll tell you, God's going to be right, because He's right. If that's the way it is, that's the way it is. So you will never know enough about Sarah Bell or anyone else, so don't judge because you don't have all the facts. You don't need them. All you know is if they sin, no matter how much it is, whether it's $70 or $70 million, forgive them. And if they do it once, twice, thrice, forgive them 70 times 7. Just keep going. I want to read number 3 again. Forgiveness is love's free decision to suffer personal loss for another who is guilty before the law, satisfying God's justice in their place in order to let them go free. That's why Jesus became sin for us. He substituted for us. He paid in our place. He didn't have to. He wanted to. We didn't deserve it. He just wanted to do it. To display His compassion and love. Not to display our goodness. Not to show that we deserved it after all. Not to say, well, men are really victims. And I've come down here in order to vindicate these victims. Oh, no. You are never a victim. You are always a culprit. Let's say that. I am never a victim, I am always a culprit. You see, if you will remember that the next time you're feeling sorry for yourself, the next time you're feeling ungrateful, the next time you're feeling prayerless or anything else, if you remember that you're always a culprit, you are never a victim. You are the source of the sin. You're not a victim. You say, well, it's the devil is the source. All right, fine. But the devil can't just use you willy-nilly. Well, you deceived me. Fine. But the Bible is light, and it exposes all deception. You're still without excuse. Who are you, O man? You are without excuse, saith the Lord God. You are always without excuse. Always without excuse. Always without excuse. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's good. I can hardly believe my ears. Always the culprit, never the victim. Well, it wasn't my fault. Oh, yes, it was. As soon as you have that righteousness on your brow, you know, it's you're wrong. Immediately you're wrong. Even if the other person did everything you said and 10 times more, you're still wrong. You're wrong. You're guilty. You're always guilty. You never come to the place of not being guilty. Hello? Even if God flows through you, you still have nothing to boast of. Even if all the days of your life you should bear fruit for God, you still have nothing to boast of. It's still a gift. It's the indwelling Lord. You have nothing to boast of. Hello? You see that? So you never come to the point of saying, I'm not guilty, finally. If you're not guilty, it's just because God said you're not. It's just because you were and He said you weren't. Hello. It's just imputed to you, declared to you, said about you. So, forgiveness is loves. God is love. Free decision to suffer personal loss for another who is guilty before the law, satisfying God's justice in their place. You go to death for them in order to let them go free. He was made sin for us that we might become righteous. You see, that was His decision. He decided to do that. That was decided before the foundation of the world, that Jesus would be the expiation for our sins, that Jesus would be the payment, that He would pay the debts, that any debt that you had, He would pay. Every debt that you have. Number four, forgiveness is giving hope to someone who has no hope. Forgiveness is giving hope to someone who has no hope. In Mozambique, they have no hope, or virtually none, because the gospel isn't spread wide and broad and clearly. There is some churches there, and there is some gospel. It was a Portuguese colony under Catholicism. They never heard the name of Jesus. And the others that heard it were not allowed to have a Bible. Because as you know, the Roman Church would not allow people to make their own interpretations and to read that dangerous book. Because they might read it and discover there were some discrepancies in it with what the church taught. Hello. So that country was kept pure from God. Therefore, they are hopeless and they need hope. They're helpless and they need help. They need a Savior. They need help. That's why we show mercy. That's why we forgive. Not because they're good. They're not good. And not because they're bad. Just because they need help. Jesus said, if a man keeps knocking, just because of his importunity, because he keeps knocking, say, give me some bread. I've got a visit. If you just keep going because you have a need, you have a need, you have a need, and no one else can supply it but the bread man. God said, I'll come through. You keep knocking, you keep asking, you keep seeking, and I'll come through. You knock once, I won't come through. Twice, I won't come through. But if you keep pressing in and saying, God, you're the only one that can do this, I'll come through. I'll know then you have faith that I'm the one. I alone can pay your debts. There is no other. Mozambique needs help. There is no other. Is London going to help them? New York? Moscow? Peking? Who's going to help them? They'll help themselves. So only Jesus Christ cares for no reason. That is, no motive outside to get something. The only reason is compassion. They have a need. They cry out and said, we desirest help, which indeed they've done. We desirest help. We need help. Someone say, they don't deserve it. They're Marxists and communists. Wipe them out. Let them fall into the sea. Or others would say, South Africa doesn't need help. Those whites have dominated the blacks. Wipe them out. They don't deserve help. It's true. They don't. But God said, I love them. I don't care if they're white racists or black Marxists. Hello? Or any other condition or category of men. If they're in debt, they're in debt. If they're in need, they're in need. If they're in hope, they need hope. If they have no hope, then someone's got to give them hope. That's us. Because we have been forgiven $70 million. We have been forgiven an eternal debt that could not be paid. He paid that debt for us. The innocent for the guilty. He let me go. He loosed me. Unbind him and let him go. Jesus said. He said that of a man who had been 4 days in the grave. A day is as 1,000 years unto the Lord. That man was Adam. His name was Lazarus, but he was really a type or a shadow of Adam. For 4,000 years, man lay in the tomb, covered over without hope, bound, not seeing the light of day. And Jesus commanded and said, come out! Lazarus, come forth! And he came out of the grave, and they unwrapped him and unbound him, and he began to walk and to move and to see. He became a worshiper of God. It's a symbol, it's a picture. that man has been in bondage. Man has been in darkness. Those that have no hope, that's what mercy is for. That's what forgiveness is for. That's what God is for. Forgiveness is giving hope to someone who has no hope for future life because of the wrong decisions that they have made, not because of circumstances. The reason people are in trouble is because of their own decisions. The reason that you're in trouble is because of your own decisions. Stop blaming it on grandfather or grandmother or the blacks or the whites or this guy or that guy or circumstances or the economy or the pastor or the church or anybody. It's your fault. Hello. You're guilty. You're not a victim. Hello. It's always your fault. Well, I didn't know. You could have known. Well, I didn't know I could have known. Well, now you know. Jesus said you're without excuse. I don't care what the story is. You're wrong. When God says something, that's it. We don't look any further. We don't discuss it further. We may have questions, but we don't discuss it. That's it. If God says you're guilty, you're guilty. And He says you're guilty. You owe such a debt you could never pay. And if you are not eternally grateful, as Christ hath forgiven you, so ye ought forgive one another. In fact, it's put even stronger. If you don't forgive your brother from your heart, neither will God forgive you. That's how strong it's put. If I don't live in a merciful way, if I don't live in a loose way, if I don't live in a forgetful way, if I don't live in a rejoicing way, if I don't constantly bless and rejoice and lift up and edify and forgive and forget you of your obligations and debts, then I have not grasped, understood, or received the gospel. I am like that wicked servant who got the goods because Jesus died for me and said thanks cheaply and went out and strangled my brother until he should pay the debt. You know, God, why I'm bitter for all these years is because I prayed for my husband, my mother, my, you know, daughter or something, and they died, and you didn't come through. People are bitter for years. Well, I trusted in that pastor, and he let me down. That Sunday school teacher, that so-and-so. My parents were godly people and so on and so forth, but they never did da-da-da-da-da. And that's why I'm angry and mad all these years. No one's ever loved me. No one ever will. You know why? You don't deserve love. Hello? You don't deserve love. Who do you think you are? Hello? You are getting exactly what you deserve? Nothing. You don't deserve love. You know why you're loved? For no reason but God's heavenly choice to do it. Because you were needing it. You didn't deserve it, but you needed it. And so God said to His servants, do it. Not because they deserve it, just do it. Whether they deserve it or not, forget that, just do it. Because they need it. Don't ask whether they deserve it. Just they need it. They need it. I tell you, I am eternally grateful for God's love. I do not deserve love. Didn't then, still don't. I get very little, so it's okay. Hello? Hello? I want you to know that. That's all right. Because God is the source and supply. And God's never cheated me. I got incredible amounts of love. But I got it from God. Whether it comes through human channels or not is not important. Oh, people have done acts of love toward me, no question. To be personal, for a moment. But to really be loved, to say someone who really loved me. Because as soon as you don't do quite right, they leave. They get angry. They get mad. Disappointed. Hurt. Unforgiving, bitter. Hello? Oh, I can see it. It's happened over and over and over again. Now, this is the thing. Before you ask forgiveness, before you ask, Jesus said, this man asked. There's another way of doing forgiveness. Before they ask, do it. When Jesus was on the cross, before they asked, He said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. They don't understand. You see, Jesus was in a place of power, even though He hung on a cross. He was in the place of righteousness. He was in the place of dominion and authority. He could exercise mercy. And so even though men despised Him, were insolent toward Him, mocked Him, yet He gave good for evil. He returned good for evil. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. I'm not their enemy. They think I've sinned against them. They despise me because I was so common. Because I didn't look glorious. I didn't look like someone they could admire. So they despised me. The only time they ever followed me around was when I did miracles and signs and wonders. But they didn't take my teaching to heart. The thing that I really wanted them to get a hold of was the teaching. They didn't want it. They didn't believe. I even, to my own disciples, I had to constantly say, oh, ye of little faith. Do you still not understand? My own disciples. I'd raised the dead before them. I'd fed the multitudes. I'd walked on the sea. What more could I have done? But they abandoned me. Here I am on the cross alone. Peter isn't next to me. Where's Mary? Where's Paul? Are they hanging here with me? No, I'm alone. Father, they don't deserve it. Forgive them. For they know not what they do. Therefore, ahead of time, we forgive. I just want you to know there's no matter what you do or don't do, because it's often you have to forgive people for not doing. Hello. I haven't gotten to the good part yet. You're forgiven. There's no problem. Because there's no way you can cheat me. Why? Because God pays all my debts. You don't owe me anything. Even love, if you give it, it's from God. Whether it comes through or comes some other way, I'll get it. Because God's able to pay his debts. He will pay his obligation. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Well, what more could I ask? What more could you give than what God has given? I don't need anything from you. Hello? Hello? The only reason God wants to include you is because God has chosen you and lives in you and wants to use you. That's why he forgave that servant. He wanted that servant to operate in mercy. He wanted that servant to operate in a new way. He didn't want that servant to be bound in the law. Even if the servant could have paid, God was happy for the opportunity, like that king, to give the mercy. Because you see, no one can pay. Every one of us is obligated. You're obligated. You are never righteous. I don't care how long you live, no matter how much you do. You can never pay. The only ones that can ever pay, begin to pay, are the pastors. So I'd throw that in so you could judge me. No, there's no one. None is righteous. No, not one. We don't become righteous. We don't have any righteousness. We're not even capable of it. The reason God gave the law to say, be righteous, was so that we'd realize we weren't and couldn't. So that we'd cry out for mercy and say, I can't pay. I don't know how I got into all these debts. I don't know. I took this thing on of trying to be good and decent and nice and wonderful and so on. I'm no good. That's why God gave the law, be good, so you'd realize you weren't. He didn't give it so you'd say, I'm doing better. I've actually improved quite a bit. I'm a lot better than my brother. I'm a lot better than my sister. I'm a lot better than my parents were. I'm a lot better than so and so. I'm not as bad as I used to be. That's all lies. You're not better. You won't improve. Never, never, never. You'll just die quicker so that Jesus can live through you. You'll just die quicker so that Jesus can live through you. That's all. The more of Jesus shows forth, the quicker you die. That's all. The quicker you die, the more Jesus is revealed. That's all. You don't improve. I know what the language says. Check it out. Try it. See if you can improve.
Well, yes,
somebody makes something up. You've already taken your eyes off Jesus. Paul says, I don't have anything to boast about. I mean, if I were among men, I could say some things, but I count it as dung, Paul says. That's nothing. That stinks. I don't want to even talk about it. All my righteousness, this is a filthy rag. It doesn't count. I'm not even going to look at it. Boy, I found the glory. I found someone to pay all my debts. I'm eternally grateful. Now, number 5. Mercy has no effect on those who are self-righteous, who suppose that they are only victims of circumstances or victims of the sins of others. Many of us feel that we're a victim of somebody else's sin.
Well, the reason that things are like they are is because my husband. Huh. He's a louse.
Probably is.
What's new?
Who said otherwise? You see, what you're a victim of is your own wrong thinking. You thought he wasn't a louse. You thought you married Prince Charming.
It's your own illusion, your own vain imagination that said, this person is something. I married someone. If you got married for any other reason than that God said, marry this one, you did wrong.
I married for love. You found out then.
You found out.
We were compatible. We were compatible. No. There's only God. God is good. You have the perfect wife, the perfect husband, but it's perfect because God pays the debts. That's why. I have the perfect wife. She's not here this morning. She's teaching in the back, but she's perfect. She's perfect. Couldn't have a better one. Don't want a better one. There isn't a better one. Perfect. Why? This is the one God gave me. It's perfect. That's the one He said, this is my will. I say, amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. You know, I grew up poor. Until I was 12, we had no plumbing. Outdoor toilets, all that kind of thing. And every day I take a shower. I'm grateful. I don't think I've ever taken a shower that I haven't thought to myself, thank God for water. We had one of those pumps and so on. Yeah, I'm so thankful for a car to drive. I live in thankfulness and gratitude. Because, you know, I remember when I was needy, when we had nothing, lived in a little house, not as big as this platform up here, very small. Several families all together. It was right after World War II, just as the war started. And, you know, I'm grateful. I'm so thankful God has blessed me. I can't believe the things that have happened. I'm amazed every day. I won't be amazed if everything falls apart, if the economy goes bad, or, you know, I get caught somehow and the whole thing doesn't work. That don't amaze me at all. I'm just amazed that I'm still going. I'm excited. I thank God for the automobiles and the cars. I'm not a griper. I'm not a complainer. I don't care how big the church is or little. I don't complain. I don't gripe. It's only for the kingdom's sake that I want to see anything done. I don't care for myself. I'm happy. I'm content. I like a little group of people. It's fun. You know? Little group, little problems. You know? Fewer to deceive. Fewer to fool. It's easy. People are easy to deceive. Mercy has no effect on those who are self-righteous. This man was self-righteous. He felt like the reason he got in trouble was he didn't really deserve it. It just kind of fell on hard times a little bit, but a little bit of help and he'll get back on his feet again. He didn't realize that he was in trouble because of his own decisions. He was responsible for his life. He was in debt because of himself. You're in trouble because of yourself. It isn't the devil's fault. The devil made me do it. It's your fault. You did it. No, I didn't have anything to do with it. I was born this way. I was born black. I was born poor. I was born this way. No. With God, all things are possible. Hello?
Amen.
You can't say, well, the Mozambicans can't go anywhere. Ah, they can too. Not with America's help, with God's help. The reason that the world's in trouble is not because America isn't helping or democracy isn't everywhere. It's because Jesus Christ is not everywhere. He isn't fully preached everywhere. The gospel certainly has gone out to an extent, but he isn't fully preached. The people of God are not living it. Imagine, how could they know? The greatest sending nation in the world is America. What are the churches like in America? Us, we're it. This is as good as we got. That's as good as they'll get. Praise God, I think they've done a little better. Because we were quite a distance from them. You know, we couldn't get over there and control the thing. Sometimes all we gave them was the Bible. You know? Too bad for those poor natives. We could have given them so much more. Those are the ones that have made it. You know? Thank God for World War II, which wiped out a lot of the missionaries. Hello? Thank God for communism, which wiped out a lot of missionaries. Because then all that was left was what was real. And not all that other stuff. Well, that's all right. God forgives us. The times of ignorance are past. You know, let's go on. But we need to forgive one another. Many of you hold grudges. Many of you are bitter. Many of you have never forgiven your mothers or fathers. I know many of you. You are still angry that you were cheated. Many of you feel like you're cheated. You can say amen. Many of you feel, I was cheated. I didn't get as much as so-and-so. I'm envious, blah, 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 blah. You weren't cheated. You're never cheated. Man, you got Jesus. Well, how could you want anything more? Why do you care whether you live or whether you eat? Pious words? No. What do we live for? God. I tell you, that's what I want to live for. I don't care if I'm successful or this and that. Who cares? If God removes me today, praise God. Hey, praise God. It's no fun working with people. It's not rewarding. Every once in a while, something happens that is rewarding. But it's every once in a while. For the most part, you people are cantankerous, stiff-necked, rebellious. You know, you don't tithe, you don't come. Hello. You're not happy, you're unforgiving, you're miserable. You don't listen, you don't learn, you're unteachable, you're undisciplined, you don't have the fear of God, you don't have the love of God, you're not happy. Now, I'm talking about not faith, I'm talking about what I see. I'm not talking about faith. By faith, you see me, you know, I'm happy. I'm having a ball. But I'm having a ball because of Jesus. Because He's burned into me something, a vision. I don't care what I see. It doesn't mean anything. It's a vision that says, this people will be a mighty people. Therefore, I'm not impressed when I see it happening. I'm already impressed. I'm already happy. I'm already excited. It has nothing to do with what I see. I believe. It's substance with me. If the church burns down and the whole thing falls apart, I still believe. He'll raise it up another instant. As David, who lost Ziklag, where all his wife and family and everything, they burned it to the ground, and he came back and he saw nothing. You know, he went out, he asked God what he should do. God told him to go out and pursue the people that had burned it down. He did. He got back every wife, every child, all their goods, plus all the spoil that they had taken from other places. And he said, this is David's spoil. I tell you, God is able. I don't care if we suffer 1,000 reverses, we'll have 1,001 successes. The righteous man does fall 6 times, but 7 times the Lord raises him up. We're victors. He always leads us in triumph. We can never lose. Hello? But, now here's the condition. You must forgive. The reason that you don't see what we now know by faith and have by faith is because you don't forgive. We've talked about tithing. We've talked about Bible reading. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about church attendance. Last week we talked about witnessing, bold witnessing. And praise God, many of you brought people today. But most of you didn't. You know, now you could come forward weeping and saying, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I know I promised I would, but I didn't. You can do that if you want. Hello? Not to me, to God. It wasn't my idea. God said, be bold. Go out. Go forth. Bring them in. Fill up my house. That's what God said. I don't care. Hello? We're doing fine. Hello? More people, more problems. Hello? Last one. Forgiveness and mercy has no reason except compassion. on one who is desperate, in need of comfort and help in time of trouble. That's all God looks at. Is there anyone here who has a need, who has no hope, who has no one to stand for them, no one to comfort them, no one to be with them? That's what God is for. And those of us who have met God, who have received from Him that comfort, can comfort others. Those who have been helped can help others. Someone says, I don't think there's a lot of love in this church. That's true. Because until you are loved, you can't love. So what we have is a lot of needs in the church. There's a lot of needs. There's a lot of need for comfort. So it takes time. You remember how worn out Jesus would get? Sometimes he'd be beside himself because they were like sheep without a shepherd. People today, I don't care how long they've been church members, they aren't built up. They aren't edified. There's so much. Boy, I tell you, it's overwhelming. I cry. I weep. Now, in closing, this is what you must do. Make a list of people who don't deserve love. Make a list. Do this. Obey. Hello. Pastoral. From God. From heaven. Do it. Go home. Make a list. Write it down on paper. Don't do it in your head. I only know one. No, go home. Make a list. Write one down then. Make a list of people in your life who do not deserve mercy. Start with my name if you want. Robert. Any of you ever been hurt by Robert? Yeah. Put him down. Put him at the head of your list. Start a list of people who don't deserve it. These are people who have sinned against you. Put them down. Next, note their sin. Write down what it is that they did. Put that down. So-and-so sinned against me. Here's what he did. One day, you know, I baked a cake and he didn't thank me. Or, you know, some whatever the thing is. I caught him being, you know, a sinner. Something. Whatever it is. Write it down specifically. Number three, cancel the debt. Write paid in full. Put their name, put the sin, then write paid in full. Cancel the debt. Let Jesus be the source of your supply. You just cancel it for them. Jesus will pay. And the last thing, set the debtor free. I don't know how to do that because each situation is different. But whatever it is, set the debtor free. Loose the debtor. Unbind him. What is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Oh, I tell you, there'll be such joy in the body. Many of you are holding. It's like we've got chains tied to us from the past. You wouldn't have them here if you didn't have them in the past, by the way. So get rid of the ones in the past first. But you've got them in the past, and then you come to church looking for someone, and then you get disappointed. Oh, they let me down. You know, and you tie more chains. Everywhere I go, it seems to be the same. You know, doesn't seem like anywhere. You're looking in the wrong place. It's God, 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 God. God pays all the debts. Don't be disappointed in people. Just forgive them. If we let you down, forgive us. It's not our intention. That is, it's not God's intention. Forget what our motives are. Now, there's another whole teaching about motives and so on. It's not like it doesn't count at all. But as far as forgiveness goes, as far as mercy goes, forgive. As Peter had to forgive Judas. Jesus. And Caiaphas and whoever else. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You have been forgiven an eternal debt. Do not hold me. Do not hold your parents. Do not hold your children. Do not hold your husband, your wife. Don't hold anyone. Let them go. I want you all to stand right now and join hands. Father, just pray after me. Father, I thank you that you have forgiven me. I am eternally grateful. I am so thankful. You have paid the price. You have taken my place. You have suffered the loss.
You have swallowed every sin. To let me go. To set me free. To cover me. To loose me. To unbind me. Father God, in gratitude, in thanksgiving, I let my brothers go. I let my sisters go. I let everyone go. I cancel all debts this day. 70 times 7. For the future as well. No one owes me anything. I set them free. I expect all things from you. The love they owe me, you will give me. Thank you, Father. I let go. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord lift up His face, His countenance upon you, and give you His peace. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord hold you and never let you go, but set you free from all guilt, all deserving of punishment this very day, that you might go and do likewise, that you might go and instead of grabbing by the throat, that you might go and declare mercy, declare forgiveness, cancel every debt. Sister, forgive me. Mother, forgive me. Father, forgive me. Wife, forgive me. Children, pastor, fellow church member, forgive me. You don't deserve it, but I give it to you freely for God's sake, for Jesus' sake. I write off the debt. You are free. Amen. Depart now in peace. Bless someone before you go. Cover them. Rejoice them. Forgive them the debt. Amen and amen. Do that. Bless someone before you go.